Be.
Thomas M. Messer was born in Bratislava in 1919, but moved to Prague at the age of 4, when his father got a job teaching German studies at Charles University. After moving to the US at the start of World War II, he went on to work at a number of art institutions, including New York's Guggenheim Museum, where he was director for 27 years. Thomas M. Messer, today an urbane gentleman of 88, grew up in Czechoslovakia's interwar period. The First Republic is seen by many as the country's golden era. Would he share that view?
My memories are those of a golden era, I have to say that. You know, we all, my family included, were in deep admiration of Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, the first president of the Czechoslovak Republic. And while, of course, we may exaggerate these things somewhat in recollection, we do think of it as a political era of great liberty, of socialism, of democracy. I agree with the general impression.
You would have been living in Prague at the time that Masaryk died. What do you remember of that that time?
Well, it was a day of great sadness for most of the Czechs and Slovaks. As I said before, we all stood in great admiration of our first president. He was considered a man of great political wisdom, a man with global awareness, culture, civilization, and so on.
You studied chemistry, I believe, but did you take an interest, an active interest in art in those days?
Well, I have to explain this. My background was art and music. My mother's family were professional musicians in Bratislava, and the arts and culture in general, music, were what I grew up with. My father then maintained, not without good reason, that the fact that I played the piano or so is not going to keep me alive financially, and so he advised that I should be taking up a subject which could also nourish me sufficiently. It was well intended, but it was catastrophic because I had no interest in it and I was not at all talented in that way. So after 4 years of chemistry there and 2 additional years in America, I finally awoke one morning and said, not one more day, and if I die of hunger, and switched to where I thought my identity belonged to.
In 1939, you came here to America. I've heard for different reasons that you came because you got a study grant and that you came to escape from Hitler. Which was it, or was it both?
Well, I didn't have any reason to escape. My family remained there. But on the other hand, of course, nobody was comfortable under Hitler. I would say that it was a study grant that was well-timed.
But on your way to America, the ship you were on was sunk by the Nazis.
That is correct. I believe I left London on the 1st of September. On the 2nd of September, war was declared, and several hours later, 5-6 hours later, that must have been one of the first torpedoes fired during World War II, sank the boat with me on board, and I spent six very disagreeable hours in a lifeboat at night to be finally rescued and brought to Ireland, to Galway, as I remember it, and eventually embarked upon a second try, which was more successful.
You later, I believe, joined the U.S. Army when you arrived here in the States.
Yeah, not right away. You know, I studied and so on. Eventually, I decided that I should volunteer and join the Army. And in the process of this, I became an American citizen.
Did you see active combat?
Yes, I did. I was with the 7th Army in Europe, on the French-German border, in the infantry, and I did see very active combat indeed.
Also, I believe after that, you were involved in interrogations of Nazis.
Well, I was involved in the interrogation of prisoners, yes, who, typically speaking, were Nazis, yes.
You were based at that time in Munich and were able to return to Prague. What state did you find Prague in after those years of war?
By the time that I returned, which must have been 56 or something like that, there was, of course, great relief that the Nazi period was over. But, of course, on the other hand, the liberators were the Soviet Union, and so the joy was tempered by the fact that we were subject to another autocratic regime.
As for your career, your later career, you studied art history, you worked for many institutions, and then ended up working for the Guggenheim and becoming the director. How did you get that job?
Well, of course, by that time, I had had a number of directorships, smaller and less prominent, but nevertheless, I was a more or less logical candidate for the vacancy that had arisen. I was invited by Harry Guggenheim, who was at that time president of the board, for an interview. He asked me all the possible questions. Chiefly, he was interested in my ability to convey to the public the meaning of modern art. And I don't remember how many candidates there were. There were many, but I was chosen.
What Czechoslovak artists did you feature in the Guggenheim in those years and have exhibitions of?
I can remember two. One was František Kupka, a very important pioneer of abstraction, more or less contemporary with Vasily Kandinsky and with others. And the other, somewhat later, was Jiří Kolář, with whom I became very friendly. I should say, however, that I did not make decisions based on nationality. The basis for my decision was artistic quality.
Do you today return to the Czech Republic, return to Prague, and when you do, what are your impressions?
Well, of course, my return to Prague is one in which memory and the recall of my youth and my life as a child even retains its vividness. It is a very emotional feeling that I have, even though I do not now have any close family alive. I think of them even more frequently than I do when I'm here. I am constructing my inner life as it really occurred, as a sort of a combination between Europe and America, between the ideals of my childhood and youth and those of my adult life.
Thomas Messer speaking to Ian Willoughby, and that edition of One on One brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague.